Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley. And AJ, it was rusty, it was gritty, it was greasy, it was sloppy. But the Colorado Avalanche have won their first game in the bubble, maybe an exhibition game, but a W nonetheless. Cheers to that.
Yeah, I don't have a drink, so I can't cheers to it, but I'm all about it anyway. But as you said, sloppy, imperfect. It's the first game that they've played since March. Yep. So what'd you expect? Way more of a penalty parade than we've seen in any of the other exhibition games.
That was so rough, man.
Some of them, I would say, were well-earned, like those high sticks in the third period. Mm-hmm. Some of them a little less so, like basically every slashing call that they made.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was just nice having hockey back.
I hear you, man. Yes, it was an exhibition game, but it certainly didn't feel like one. Being able to, well, it felt like one in regards to the rust, but it didn't feel like one in regards to watching this sport. Again, not just this sport like we got to see yesterday, but this sport with the Avs actually playing. Even got a little bit chippy at moments in there going up against the Wild. It's just such a treat to be able to watch hockey that I care about again.
Yeah, definitely. It was cool. I watched the... I watched the Pittsburgh Philadelphia game. It was fun.
Yep.
I casually had other games on as they were happening, but that was the only one I actually sat and watched, and was quickly reminded, like, oh, exhibition hockey.
It's so messy.
I will take it over no hockey, but like you, yeah. And it was awesome. Dug it. I'm walking out of this feeling really good, honestly. They didn't play very well, and they still did just fine. I feel great about the goaltending, both of them. I feel a lot better about the PK now that once it settled in, and the only goal against was a. Was the 4-on-3, and they had two forwards out for the 4-on-3, which when it happened, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. And then they scored 20 seconds in, and it was like, oh, I really don't know about it now.
That was a choice.
Yeah. And it looked like JT Confort looked totally lost on it. He did not look like he was comfortable in that situation at all. So, you know, a lot of guys were put in a lot of different situations. This was not like game 82 tune up to the postseason, right? This was very loose. This was very sloppy. A lot of guys in a lot of different roles doing a lot of different things. The PK unit really was kind of the star of the game.
Yeah. PK went 7 for 8 and really locked it down well. No arguments there. Top ice time getters being Eric Johnson and Ryan Graves as the key PK defensemen. Yeah, that was probably the best side of the defense tonight, as there was a lot of sloppiness there, which, I mean, let's jump into this. The biggest difference in the Avs lineup here was they get to run 13 forward, 7D, Jost in as expected on the forward core, but they played both Connor Timmins and Kevin Connaughton on the defensive side with Sam Girard recovering a bit.
Yeah, it looked a little disjointed at times. It certainly looked like they had one pairing they were comfortable with and was comfortable with each other in Graves and Makar.
Yep.
I thought Graves looked really good.
I have no arguments there. It outside of Connaughton and Timmins, I think all the defensemen looked fine. The passing was a bit off at times, but that was true of everyone on both sides.
I haven't gone through all of the grades so far yet. I haven't written all of them yet, so I'm not sure where I land on all of them. But I didn't really notice Ian Cole a whole lot. I mean, Zadorov took that first penalty.
If you're not noticing Ian Cole in the playoffs, though, he's doing his job, right?
That's exactly what I wrote in his player grade, was that not noticing Cole given his role, and I'm sorry for the rhyme, but given his role, not noticing Ian Cole is fine. Like, you're okay with that. I a lot of people were talking about Makar looking iffy. I thought Makar got better.
Yeah, I agree. As the game went on, his passing got cleaner and crisper.
Yeah, a couple of icings early on. He threw a stretch pass into McKinnon's feet that, had he been able to go tape to tape, would have been a 2-on-1. There were some moments early on from him, but he had a really nice opportunity late in the second period when he came down that right side and he had a good look at it. There was enough that I liked that I felt pretty good about Makar overall.
Yeah. I mean, there weren't many guys on the outside that I had big complaints about, to be honest.
No. My major complaint was the Timmins 4-minute penalty.
Right.
And it was an accident.
Right.
But Jost totally did that on purpose. Jost smoked that guy. The Timmins one was way more of an accident.
Nonetheless, you've already taken 6 penalties this game, and you're a 1-goal lead in the third period.
Yeah, you're in a 1-goal, and when you're talking about a guy that, as a high IQ player, you're expecting more. You don't expect
he should know better, right? Like, yeah, exactly.
But outside of that penalty, there was one other sequence where Timmins made a poor decision with the puck in his own zone. The Wild ended up taking it from him. He tried to get back on it, and he ended up falling down and sliding into the corner, and they were cool.
Yeah.
They didn't pay any price for it. They didn't get a scoring chance out of it. Nothing came of it. Teammates helped him out. But like that one little moment, and then the rest of the game, I thought he looked just solid.
Hold up. I got you. Shouldn't mute this. Hang on. We'll do it this way. It's a little slow on the uptake here, but this is Timmins just getting it there.
Yeah, not great. Didn't love that. And it's kind of fits in with what we've been talking about, or what I saw at camp, where sometimes he makes mistakes and he gets desperate. Because he knows that his skating is his biggest weakness.
With it. Yeah, exactly.
And so he knows he's in trouble, and then he gets a little panicky, and then he eats it. And you're like, oh, well, you just made it 5 times worse.
Right.
It's the you can't fall for the sunk cost fallacy. You made the mistake and now give it up and move on.
Right. Don't compound the mistake by now removing yourself from the play completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't
the only one, to be fair. There was an absolutely awful pinch by EJ in the second period as well that Namaznikov totally bailed him out on. But
yeah, two bad pinches from EJ today. Namaznikov bailed him out on one. Namaznikov was really good today.
Yes,
he was. With the guy in our comments right now that is going on about Namaznikov disappearing. I thought he was really good.
He was fantastic all game.
He's getting at least a B when I grade him. two bad pinches from EJ. He got back on the second one. And took his guy away and it was just fine. The other one though, he definitely got bailed out. And those are the decisions that he makes that continue to frustrate, because otherwise I loved what EJ did. He got up and down the ice.
I thought he was really active. Yeah.
When he's active like that, I love watching him play. Because he's just so big and he moves so well. And that was for you, Robin. And he just gets after it.
I saw that tweet too, and I was like,
way to be wrong on both counts, bud. but no, he was I really liked when he was initiating and activating on offense. The decision making, it's always an adventure with him. It just always is. I will take the EJ they got today. I will take that every single game. Day.
Yep.
I will live with the decision making that's up and down, whatever. I don't care.
Especially, we've talked about this a little bit before, but you have a rusty team with a defense that's pretty up and down. You're looking for an anchor to help steady that on the defensive side.
Yes.
That's Sam Girard, dude.
Not having G, it shows.
Yep.
Hey, this is why when we're talking about like offseason stuff and we're like Alex or William Nylander for Girard, right? And we're both like, love Nylander.
Yeah.
I think he might be the better player, but Girard is so important to the defense.
That's exactly how I would put it.
So important to the defense. And we saw it a little bit today.
Missed what's going on with G. Nothing. Just he took a maintenance day yesterday, and there's no reason to play him in an exhibition game if he's not 100%. So,
also, it's the playoffs now, so he has to get hurt right at the start.
Right.
So
get it out of the way.
Let's get it out of the way in the round robin. Whatever. Connor Timmins can play. We can get all excited about it. Zadorov can lose his job next year, and then G will come back for the first round.
Yep. There you go.
do you see how I solve the world's problems?
So easy. It's so
easy. Can you guys just elect me to be the good decision maker for the universe? I got this. Just trust in me. I got this.
Does bring up a good point here. Hard to take a ton away given that there were 30 minutes of penalties taken in this game.
I went to look at the shot charts and all that stuff for the third period, 8 minutes of even strength time.
Yeah.
For the record, this was not the turtle because it was dead even across the board. In those 8 minutes of 5-5, it was 7-7 in Corsi, it was 4-4 in shots, 3-3 in scoring chances, and 1-1 in high dangers. Dead even across the board. So not the turtle, and they did a good job at the end of the game. I was all about it. The hat is the old Denver Nuggets minor logo from way back in the day.
AJ's got fire hats on this show all the time.
I have a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks, and let me tell you, I am hoping to get at least one more hat to my collection.
All right. Well, let me put a hat on my list.
Well, I have one that's already been purchased for me. I just have to – the person who has it has to actually physically give it to me.
So you already got one coming.
Yeah, it's I've got a Hartford Yard Goats hat coming, so I am very excited for that.
I like it. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to say your name. I'm sorry, dude. We will get to that in just a second as we do have to take our first period break. By doing so, AJ, DraftKings king of the game. Is it? There are two choices in my mind here. There are two choices. All right. One, Nathan MacKinnon bringing the Nathan MacKinnon goal that absolutely lit everyone up. Or two, Gabe Landeskog was probably the Avs' best offensive player, just absolutely doing work net front, in my opinion.
I gave Landeskog a C.
You gave Landeskog a C? For the penalties, yeah.
Two separate penalties and a bunch of turnovers in the first period.
One of those penalties was baby soft, though.
Look, you know I'm with you, but like, you can't be taking that, man. If those are my options, it's definitely MacKinnon.
Oh, so I'd go for someone else then.
I thought that Colorado's other best player today was Kadri. So I would take MacKinnon over Kadri, but I thought Kadri was so good today.
Kadri had the hype show, right? But he has nothing to show for it at the end of the game.
Yeah, like when you're talking about a king in the game, you got to go with the guy that gave everybody the highlight and was the talk of the NHL when it happened.
Yeah.
Because everybody was like, "Oh, Nathan MacKinnon!"
Exactly. It was one of those
and one mixtapes where somebody breaks somebody's ankles and you see everybody in the background falls down and is freaking out. That's what the internet looked like when MacKinnon scored that goal.
The super hot fire video of some dude just like
that's it. Yeah, that's I couldn't I was thinking that, but I was trying to leave it to you to be on the same wavelength.
I got you. All right. It's decided. Well, that.
MacKinnon, hot fire, he spits that.
Exactly that. And if you want to bet on Nathan MacKinnon over at DraftKings Sportsbook, +1400 to win the Conn Smythe. He scores a couple more goals like that, and I tell you what, it's going to be hard to say no. You can head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook right now, and when you sign up with code DNVR, you can bet on any team to win. A $20 bet will earn you $100 if they do win. 5-1 odds, a one-time special bonus for new accounts. So be sure to get on it with that DNVR odds boost. Again, $20 to win $100 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Download their top-rated app today. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Of course, we also have Breckenridge Brewery, as I'm sipping myself on AJ's favorite strawberry sky right here today.
I'm not my favorite anymore.
Oh my God. Are you a Mountain Beach man now, like the rest of the company?
No, I really love the vanilla porter.
That surprises me from you a little bit.
Me too, because they are not my thing.
Yeah, they're like more of a light beer type guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always been more of a light beer kind of guy because I suck at this, but vanilla porter.
Just delish.
It just hits for whatever reason. It makes me think I need to redo my whole beer thing because
now you got to test them all again. I turned
30 and a bunch of my food tastes changed. And so I was like, oh crap, now what? So I wonder if the same thing happened with beer.
Well, do you drink wine? I don't know.
I've never had wine
before. Okay, me either. I've had it, but I'm not a fan. It's like, I don't know if that changes when you get older either. But either way, if you want some Breckenridge Brew, whether it be the Strawberry Sky, the Vanilla Porter, the Avalanche Amber, you can always go to your local Davidson's or liquor store to pick it up, or the Farmhouse, of course, or the DNVR Bar. We are planning to have a watch party for the Avs' first proper game against the St. Louis Blues. Not posted yet, but keep your eyes out for the RSVP because that place will fill up quick. Yeah. So
we have restrictions, unfortunately, with everything that's still going on, so it'll have to be first, let's sign up and show up to the bar with the reservations or the ones who get in. I'm still pushing because it is a 4:30 game, I believe. Pushing for mimosas. I'm still pushing for mimosas.
I mean, nothing's stopping you from ordering a mimosa in the evening, right?
Well, I just, you know, some places don't always serve them all day. And so,
I imagine they'd serve it to you, maybe not in like a mimosa stem glass, but
no, you know what, they need to be giving me bottomless mimosas.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
that way you and I can get all kinds of messed up and then try and go learn how to play
post game pod. Yeah. You just got to drink just the right amount, and then you'll be a god. That's the key. But back to this hockey game that we just watched, the second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We've talked about the defense a little bit. We've talked about McKinnon, but boy, outside of some sloppy passing and some issues with possession time, when that Avs forward core got the puck in the offensive zone at 5-on-5, they were dangerous, man.
yes, they were.
The evil laugh into the yes.
Playing with the speed that they were generating. Mm-hmm. Like, you just look at the McKinnon goal and where that play starts. They get possession behind their net. It's a quick move out. It's a quick move from Zadorov up to Landeskog, who's a couple, like, what, a step or two inside the blue line. And then McKinnon just drives the middle of the ice.
Yep.
I mean, look at this. Woof!
It's a
bye-bye.
Can we – I mean, it's a great shot, but can we appreciate that one more time? Look at this play by Landeskog. He suckers in two wild players to him and just does a little touch pass over to McKinnon.
Yeah, so this is the thing. That's Eric Staal. Eric Staal is made of all dust and old bones at this point. he either sees – there's only two things that happen here. He either sees McKinnon driving the middle of the ice and is like, I have to go all in on Landeskog with the puck and try and steal this.
Yep.
Or he doesn't see him at all. And is so locked in on the puck that he doesn't notice that one of the world's top three players is about to put poor Brad Hunt on a highlight reel. And then Brad Hunt is standing still when McKinnon gets that puck, and they are 40 feet apart, and it didn't matter. McKinnon yep. was just like, bye, girl. See ya. It was so nasty, dude. It was like that. Their ability to play through the neutral zone like that, and the idea that Minnesota would have that much space with Nathan McKinnon out there, it's just giggles. It's so dumb.
And Minnesota, a team that has tried to play shutdown D for most of this season, and that ain't it, Chief, right there.
Yeah.
So, granted, the rust and all that, yeah, but knowing that every team in the league just saw Nathan McKinnon do that and just went, oh no.
Well, and like after Edmonton last night,
yep,
and Colorado today, and Tampa Bay today,
yeah, Tampa Bay.
There's a couple of teams whose star players showed up and were like, we here, suck,
boys.
we ready to do that bubble hockey.
So, yeah, Avs do take it down 3-2. Forward core, sorry, beyond the kind of top two lines. You already mentioned Kadri looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Battle for the positional spots. Did Jost do enough?
No.
I agree.
And it sucks because I thought he played well. The penalty there, what I wrote in the grades was that at this point, you guys aren't even going to need to freaking rate them. But what I wrote is that Nieto did what Nieto does. It's the old vet move. Let the young guy make the mistakes. He played the perfectly sound game and let the competition for that spot kind of self-destruct. And self-destruct is strong because Jost, outside of the penalty, Jost was good. I liked his game. That pass that he made to Nieto cross ice was a laser. And Nieto was like, whoa, what the hell was that?
He was not ready for that bullet, yeah.
He did not know Tyson Jost had that bullet in that gun. He did not know Tyson Jost owned that gun. It was, to be very American and use a gun metaphor, like, he had no idea that was coming. And I don't blame him. Have we ever seen Tyson Jost make a pass like that before?
I don't think
it was I have. Awesome. Yeah,
that thing was smoking.
Like, he rifled that thing over there, and Nieto was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And once he got it, you know, once he settled it down, he got the shot away, but it was too late at that point. He needed to be on the one-timer. If it wasn't for the penalty, I would probably say yes.
So it's close.
It was close. Yeah, and I would continue when they get into the round robin. I would give Nieto
going. Yeah,
I would give Nieto St. Louis, and I would give Jost. I would certainly give Jost Vegas. Just style wise, and then that might be how I determine it. If it's a little more of a defensive team, you go with Nieto. If it's a little bit more of an offensive team that wants to open up, there will be a little bit more space. You go with Jost, because I think that's how close it is.
What a difference a year makes.
Dude, game seven of last year, Tyson Jost and Colin Wilson were on a line in game seven together, the second line.
There's that. But also, last year, if the Avs want more of a defensive look, their switch into the roster is Gabe Bork. Now it's Tyson Jost.
Yeah, it was like Gabe Bork or Spade Andregetto.
Yeah. So they've come a long way in such a short time.
Yeah.
Unlike the Wild, they managed to get through this game healthy as well. No injuries as of yet. So one game down, 16 more wins to go. Well, I guess potentially 19 more wins to go.
So for our comment section here, just for the record, that Nieto Belmar Calvert line got annihilated
today. Yeah, it was terrible on the possession metrics, but
yeah, it was 2 Corsi 4 and 13 against for Calvert and 3 and 11 for Belmar.
Their best offensive moment in the game was Calvert missing an empty net. So,
which was like also was that?
Yeah, I don't know how he missed that, dude.
If we went back, I think the defender probably got a stick on it.
He probably did, but
it's what I thought happened live because I was like, what the hell was that?
Right. There's no way he chunks it that bad, but
it does seem unlikely, right? Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but anyway, just to point that out, it's, you know, I'm not rolling by trying to dunk on anybody. For the record, I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into the shot stuff today. Because so little of the game was played at even strength and there was so little flow. And then when there was like the third period, the 8 minutes of even strength time, you're in a one goal game. So you're just removing huge chunks of the game because of context. And it's like, I'm not gonna mess with that. Like
What do the tiebreakers look like to ensure the Avs don't get the fourth seed if they only win one game in the round robin? I believe the tiebreakers just go to regular season points.
They do. It's regular season point percentage if there are ties.
Which so, will do the Avs well against everyone but the Blues.
Right. That's why we said they pretty much win one game, and I think they're
not fourth anyway.
Fourth, yeah. Which not Edmonton, which we'll get into on Friday.
Yeah, that show is coming closer to proper games. But for now, we're talking about today's game. Were you surprised at how chippy it was? I don't think it was like super chippy, but Minnesota got a little bit mad there in the latter half of the game.
Yeah, well, bads always get mads. So I wasn't too surprised that Marcus Foligno was upset because he wakes up and he doesn't have to step on a Lego for him to be in a bad mood to start his day. He's just always mad. So I don't have any issue with Bads getting mads. It's fine. Do your thing. Get upset. He ended up with that bloody mustache as his reward for his shenaniganery anyway. So it felt like karmic retribution.
Yeah.
An accidental high stick from Timmins. And it was kind of like, sort of earned it, pal.
A little bit of karma for sure. Yeah.
Especially after like, you're going after Kadri, who's like the one guy on the Avs who just cannot do anything. He cannot step out of line and defend himself properly because we've seen him beat dudes. We've seen him beat a suspension out of a man this year.
Yep.
And there was no way that he was going to cross that line. And Foligno literally with both hands, like grabbed his helmet.
Yeah. Gave him a little face hug there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, is this a daytime soap all of a sudden? Like, what's about to happen here? And of course, it's like an angry face grab. And Kadri can't do anything about it. He's the one guy that's not allowed to do anything about it.
Yep. Still got a penalty out of the situation.
Yeah, get your face grabbed and go to the box for roughing. The NHL continues to be dumb.
Oh, your name's Nazem Kadri? All right. Goodbye.
Right. A man is yelling at you and has dropped his stick and is grabbing your face. And while, yes, you have shoved him back, and yes, you are also exchanging adult language with him, that is that constitutes roughing. Whatever, dude. Kadri's not like some grand victim in the whole scheme, but we've seen some questionable nonsense against him this year.
For sure.
Especially against Minnesota. Do you remember he was the dude that got dragged down from behind?
Yep.
Burakovsky pulled that same move today, and you didn't hear any of the Minnesota people who were like, oh, he dove. You didn't hear any of that? That was a great, great hog tie by Burakovsky.
Of the penalties in this game, that one was one of the ones that it's like, yep, you took a penalty.
And when I saw it live, I was like, I don't know about that. I could see where they would call it holding, and then they showed the replay where he got him around the neck, and it was like,
yeah, it's like, okay. Oh boy,
he smoked it, dude.
No,
it was a good old cattle roping right there. I used to go to the rodeo quite a bit and see that all the time.
Texas boy here, yeah.
It was, man, I missed the rodeo, but neither here nor there. That was, I love Kadri getting under Marcus Foligno's skin just because he existed, and then. The chippiness was nice. Like, these are still two teams that don't like each other. They can stand next to each other on the blue line all they want, but they don't like each other.
Those were, you talked about Kadri, the other instigator there, Matt Dumba, certainly not afraid to get into Landeskog a few times there.
Everybody, I can't stand Carson Soucy. It started in the preseason because he kept going after Landy.
Yep.
Specifically, he kept going after Landy. And then they spent all game going at each other. And then Carson Soucy ended up on the wrong end of two of the goals. And I'm just like, keep playing this, dude. You just keep playing this, dude.
You'll get value every time. Yeah.
Dare you to keep playing this, dude. And they did. And guess what? Landeskog ate that fool alive. So... it's an exhibition game. You're not hard matching or whatever, but watching him go out against that top line multiple times was entertaining.
So what AJ's trying to say here is Minnesota's got some problems. Maybe they need to do a little bit of manscaping when it comes to those roster decisions. So,
well, he's got to what's his face? Got to manscape that bloody mustache off his face now.
Foligno's got some serious manscaping work to do there. Maybe some Green Mountain Dental work as well. Who knows? But if you're looking for Manscaped, who are dedicated to helping you and your full body grooming game, both below and above the belt, they have you covered. They've forever changed the game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Comes with that lawnmower 3.0 waterproof cordless body trimmer, as well as a ton of liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. The trimmer is one of the best on the market. It is a ceramic blade, so you get none of those nicks and none of that dangerous stuff going on if you're going below the belt. It's also great for above the belt as well. This is how I trimmed my beard just the other day, AJ. I think it was your first time using it as well. And it's super easy, real quick. Bang, bang, bang. Done.
Love the light
all
on
the
it.
Way through. Yeah, I know, right? Like, you can't, if you're struggling to see, it's just like, boop, there's the long hair.
So I have this really, this will be TMI, but this is, I have this weird thing where I don't turn bathroom lights on.
Okay.
I've done it since I was a kid.
But with that, you're good to go.
The light was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, it's like brighter than you would expect it to be. Oh.
Perfect.
A great addition.
So you got that as well as all of their other formulas, whether it be their crop preserver for a below-the-belt toner and a handful of other things, including anti-chafe deodorant in their perfect package. To order, head on over to manscaped.com and use code DNVR20 to get 20% off and free shipping. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We talked about it a little bit, AJ, but who won the goaltending battle today? I know you said they both look great, but someone's got to win.
I mean, I guess you say Frankie because he didn't give anything up. But when you also look at it, Grubauer
significantly less too, right? Yeah.
Grubauer gives up a 4-on-3 goal where they allow a Royal Road pass that I'm sorry, but that's going in.
Yep.
And Grubauer, I mean, hell, Grubauer even almost got there. And then the other one was a weird bounce off of Jordan Staal's body that nobody even knew where it was.
Well, it hit Namestnikov and then deflected into Staal's body and then right to Staal's feet where he just gets to tap it in. Like,
and he slapped it in, and it was like that was it. Otherwise, he was fine. And I don't blame Grubauer for either one of those goals against.
Yep.
I thought both goalies looked totally fine, but I think by default you have to give it to Frankie.
Yeah,
I mean it's not totally fair.
But I mean, just from an eye test perspective too, right? Grubauer was pretty darn scrambly, especially in the first period.
I mean, Frankie made a save where his back was to the ice again, where he was spinning. Like,
yeah, he was spinning when he covered that puck for sure.
And he does that. That's a thing that he's done a number of times this year. But I'm saying, like, you're gonna ding a guy for being scrambly, and it's like the one chance that Frankie really had, where he sort of a puck was bouncing on him, and he did the exact same thing.
I guess I should put it this way: Frankie's MO is scramble. When Grubauer's locked in, it's usually very, very calm.
Economy of motion, good reads. Yeah. Grubauer did have one really nice read on a play where Minnesota, I thought that was a goal, and Grubauer read it perfectly, and he pushed it the right time, and he got over on it, and it was a nice save. You don't think about that because he stops the puck.
Yep.
Very true. There wasn't anything that I saw from Frankie that I thought was particularly great, but that, like when you're not noticing Ian Cole, that's a testament to good positioning and good goaltending. So, again, I would have to say, by default, Frankie wins. He had the 0 goals, and Grubauer had 2. As whether or not that's fair, you know what? Life isn't fair when you give up, when you each get half of a game, and defensively they play much better in one half than the other, then, you know, it sucks. And
this is only game one. The expectation already announced by the Avs is that both will get games in the round robin. So,
yeah, they will split. So it's fine. Like, just for posterity here, Grubauer saw 16 shots in the first period.
Right.
Frankie, with his team protecting a 1-goal lead, saw 8 in the third.
And I believe Grubauer got the lion's share in the second as well. So Frankie got like 11, 12, 13 shots in the whole game.
Yeah. For the record, some of the stat scraping so far has been real bizarre.
Yeah.
given the other games. But yeah, so in total, Grubauer saw 20 shots, Frankie saw 14.
Yeah, so the lion's share of the offense was seen by Grubauer, and that was as much the defense adjusting and getting back up to game speed as anything else.
Yeah, because they did tighten up as the game went on. That first period was a loosey-goosey disaster.
Yep.
But when it comes to, because like tandems are fine, and I don't have any issues with getting through 82 games with a tandem, but when you get into the postseason, you want to know who you're starting.
Yeah.
And the defensemen want to know because they have certain communications with each goaltender. They're all of those relationships and how guys like things, they're all a little bit different. You don't want to be going back and forth constantly. You want one of these guys to separate. If that means one of these guys has to be bad during the round robins, fine. But you want separation. You'd prefer if both guys were really good and you were picking between two good options. But you really do want one guy to separate and kind of stand out.
Yeah. I agreed on that one. The Avs, as they stand right now, they don't have a ton of worries. They just don't. The forwards had no trouble jumping in. The defensemen adjusted well throughout this game, and the goaltenders did their job.
Yeah.
So you're not coming out of this exhibition game with anything other than, all right, start fine-tuning and get ready to go for a proper playoff series through this round robin.
Yeah. I mean, for the Avs, we talk about physicality and they hack it and blah, 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 right? Had more hits in this game, blocked a lot more shots. Overall, were the more physical team, which might have led to them being more penalized, maybe. But
yeah.
Also, I just think that they got a little bit outplayed in this one. Like, not a lot, but a little bit.
Yeah, I think that
they outskilled. Their skill shined.
Yep.
Because you look at all of the goals, all of those are skill goals. Yep. There's nothing really particularly greasy about a pass off the pads, Nathan MacKinnon, and then Landeskog with an easy rebound in front of the net, where he just you have a 5-on-3 advantage. You can just stand there freely.
They got the puck to dangerous areas. They used their speed to beat people, and they were in the correct positions. Like,
yeah,
that's quality hockey all the way around.
Right. Like, that's a formula. That's a repeatable formula.
Yep.
And easily could have been a couple of more goals, because they had Mikko Rantanen especially had some really nice chances.
He had a bomb one-timer. There were great chances in front beyond the goal for Landeskog, and MacKinnon had a great one in front as well.
Yeah. Mikko had that backdoor tap in that he just missed off his stick, where I was like,
please. Yeah, so it's all positive. Obviously, the win is great, even if it means nothing, but the Avs, it's momentum, right? There's not a whole lot of momentum going around in the bubble, but this is as much momentum as you can generate into games that actually mean something.
The raw fact is that winning is fun and losing is not. And when you're stuck in this bubble, in this environment, you're going to be forced to kind of ride the wave of whichever one you're on.
Yep.
If you lose a couple of games, you're not going to be able to get away from anything. You're not going to be able to escape any of it, because you're sort of just stuck there.
Yeah.
If you're winning, you're feeling like you're living in the moment and you're on top of the world. And so even though we say, hey, this game is meaningless, winning is just more fun.
Straight
now,
up.
Now, the fact that they have like 4 more days off before their next game is like, okay, well, whatever momentum they might have
tempers
gotten
from this, it quite a bit, yeah.
Probably won't exist.
Still, it has to give the team a little bit of confidence to know that. Look, first of all, it gives you a gauge of where another NHL team is at.
Yeah.
Secondly, it shows that you guys still have all of the things that make your team run.
Yeah.
So I think it's a big deal. But as we wind down the show here, the post game show, what are your takeaways, I guess, from this game?
Colorado star players, still star players. Specifically in the head-to-head against Minnesota, Colorado's best players are just better. The depth didn't have a good day today.
I would agree.
And
but they got away with it, nonetheless.
Yeah, and the defense, they survived the onslaught at the beginning where they played like garbage. They tightened the screws as the game went on, and they got a lot better, started to look a lot more like the Avs that we're comfortable with. And boy, do they miss Sam Girard. Like,
yeah,
he's just an important part of that defense. And I really don't have any issue with Timmins. I don't think he did anything today that would say he should push his way into the lineup. If there is an injury going into round one and a Girard isn't healthy or a Makar isn't healthy or whatever, any of them aren't healthy, any of those top six, I would still take Timmins over Connaughton, but I don't think they each played in the game today. They each had moments, both good and bad. Yep. So, and it's funny because you like Timmins, and Timmins is the young guy, so you want him to do well. So when he makes a mistake, you shrug it off. If Kanaan had taken that 4-minute penalty, everybody would have burned it down.
Yeah, it is what it is. Kanaan was nature. Also the other side of the coin too. Kanaan was, you know, a couple inches away from a ridiculous dangle goal net front. On the other side, but
Timmins was a couple inches away from a putback goal as well.
Wide open net that he just kind of chipped wide there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, each guy, like I said, there were moments for each guy. I don't think there was much separation there.
Yep.
As much as I want to be like, Connor Timmins outplayed that fool. He's got to be on the team. He's got to make the ice. He's got to be your first guy to come in the lineup if there's an injury. Maybe even consider sitting that bum Zadorov, but nothing like that.
Just not the case. Yeah.
No, not at all. It was The five of the regulars did just fine. You saw the good and the bad from each of them a little bit, and then neither one of those guys look like they belong ahead of anybody. So,
yep, agreed. So, I mean, yeah, that's where it is. I think the Avs generally trended in the right direction, and they got the W. Yep. So,
and hey, if you're gonna be figuring out who you are, everybody's figuring out who they are again.
Yep.
As long as you're winning while you're doing that, you're not getting too upset about it.
Exactly that.
Power play could have been a little bit better. Penalty kill got good.
Yep.
Like penalty kill looked a lot better as the game went on.
Yeah.
The power play had its moments. Not getting your shots on goals continues to be an annoyance.
The classic inconsistency there, but
yeah, them continuing to try Burakovsky on that bumper, which is something they did all through camp.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Kadri on the second unit. See, Burakovsky made a couple of really nice plays in camp where I can see where they're like, "Hey, let's give this a whirl against a real team." It looked like garbage today.
Yeah, you're just not getting value out of Burakovsky's skill set there. You're just not.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument that you're not getting value out of anyone's skill set there, but that's a topic for a different pod.
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, right?
Exactly. Either way, we don't need to get into the power play topic just yet. We can have that conversation after the round robin, depending on how things go.
It was as we left it off. Yeah. It was, you would say it wasn't good enough. Two, you would say it also wasn't atrocious. This embarrassing, oh my God, the worst in the league, and they should be embarrassed, and they have to fire Ray Bennett. It was fine. It was just okay.
When you win and you didn't play your best, pretty good day. That's exactly it. The Avs brought their C-plus game, maybe.
Yeah.
B-minus.
I'm good with that.
So they got the W anyway. And before we get out of here today, do need to acknowledge MSU Denver Online, which puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. They have many, many professors who have worked in the industries they are now teaching on, so they're a great networking opportunity as well. MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs, and some of our very own staff members here at DNVR are taking MSU Denver online classes this summer. Hit up Ali Monroy or Harrison Wind if you have any questions on how things are going over there and you want some insider info. That's going to wrap up this Winner's Lounge. I guess this is a lounge post-game show for the DNVR Avalanche podcast. As always, thank you for watching. You know, over here at DNVR, we got you all covered. Couple of days off for the Avs. Well, they'll be practicing and all of that. But then August 2nd, it's going to be a sprint all the way home from there, basically. We'll be here covering every single Avs game there is. So keep it locked in. And until tomorrow, we will talk to you guys next time.